Wanted to say publicly that as Derek comes and shares a few words, a testimony from the week that was, Derek is probably running on about 8 hours of sleep for the week. Okay? So, I mean, he spent himself at camp and then worked all weekend at night while we were resting. And it just tells me that that's what it takes to do youth ministry. And we're excited about what God's doing in the youth ministry area among young people. Derek and his wife are passionately devoted to teenagers and will do just about anything to reach them for Jesus. And so he texted me yesterday, "Hey, can I have 15 minutes to share in the service today?" I said, "I'll give you 10. And he took a couple in the baptistry. And, but what am I going to do? The man's just full of the Lord working in his life. So, man, come and share another word with us before I preach.
Awesome. Thank you, Brother Jeff. So I did ask him that, but for your sake, if I go a little bit longer, he has to go shorter because last week he went longer. Right? So this week at camp was an amazing opportunity for us. Honestly, on the way up there, we were pumped up. We were amped up. We've been praying over these students. The camp we go to, these leaders, the staff, they take all of our campers' names that we send in on the form for where what room they're going to be in, and they pray for every single student by name. And it's just humbling to know that all of these leaders and just group of people just praying over our students, praying over us by name. As we're on our way up there, if some of y'all might have seen the picture, our van broke down. So we try to be really on top of that. We spent a lot of time and a lot of energy getting that prepared, but it still broke down on the way up there. So we were in Shreveport, and we would drive down the road, then the van would die. We'd drive down the road, the van would die. And I called Brother Brian. I said, "I'm about to rent another van so we can get up to camp, get back, and everything would be good." But Eric and I worked together, and we were able to get it resolved and finish the rest of our trip there, and very minimal problems the rest of the trip. So we get to camp. It was an amazing experience. Again, I'm just so overwhelmed and overjoyed. And like Brother Jeff said, I'm working on very little sleep. But the energy and the passion just growing up inside of me after seeing what God is doing in these kids' lives is truly amazing. Our theme this year for camp was the uprising, rising up and fixing our eyes on Christ. So I'm going to read over some scripture to y'all, and it was taught over to us over several days. The speaker, Chad Poe, he's the pastor over at a church in Lake Jackson, Texas. The band More Than This, they play music that's on mainstream Christian radio. We had an awesome time in worship and in God's Word, and just really presenting God's Word to students in an unbiased, untwisted, undistorted light, because Satan is trying to twist us. Satan is trying to stop us with everything he can. He tried to stop our van. We prayed over the van. We prayed over everybody to get there, and we see God win in that. And even through the week, we see Satan trying to twist us and trying to attack us. And over and over and over, we just pray, "God, would you bind the hands of Satan to prevent this work so these students get to know you and understand you?" Just a glimpse of you this week. So Colossians 3, verse 1 is our theme verse for the week. It says, and I'm going to read kind of through Colossians 3, skip around a little bit, but you'll get the message. Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. "So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on these earthly things. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if any of you has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So the few verses I skipped over, just for the sake of time, is when Paul is writing to the church and telling them, put to death these sins. Put to death all of these sins that you have. I don't even want to spend much time on it because here's the truth, guys. We put to death those sins, and they're paid for once and for all. And so that was our message to our students. There's no sin. There's no thing that can separate you from God's love. God loves you the most no matter what. It's not conditional based on our sin. So our message was, guys, you have sin. We all have sin. But God loves us through that sin. Even while we were God's enemy, he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us. And our natural response to that is to love him. And here's what he says about loving him. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says to the disciples, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So our personal group theme was serve. And on the shirts it says, serve one another humbly in love. And so when we got to camp, I handed out the shirts to the students and I went over that concept. This comes out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, where it says that we put to death the things of this world, but instead we take up, we're free in Christ because we take up his freedom that he gave up for us so we can love others and we can serve humbly. And so that was our message for our students this week. And as you saw, just through those two baptisms, and we have many more that we're working out over the next couple weeks, but not just through baptism, but through the decisions students made, through decisions to say, I'm struggling with this sin and I want to give this up. I want to love my family. I want to love my friends. I want to forgive even when it's really hard to forgive others because God showed me that same grace. So it was an awesome message. We were absolutely thrilled. I told the students this, and if anybody's here from our past youth group, I'm sorry. But I told the students this. This has probably been the absolute best group of students that I've ever gone to camp with. And I didn't even know them all prior to going. So to watch God show up and show off and work through these students' lives not only ignites a passion in them, but also in me and in the other leaders that got to go. It was an amazing experience for us to kind of come back to God and say, God, we recognize that we could hit the play button and we can do camp and we can do church and we can put on this great stuff. But God says, leave all that aside. Bring them to the cross. And that was the message of camp. So I want to thank y'all, everybody who's come and supported us through our fundraisers, through financially giving, through praying for our students, praying for us as leaders as we brought these students over. I mean, it was truly an amazing experience. And if y'all don't mind, I would just like to say a prayer over our church and all the students that were able to come and just praise God for an amazing camp we had. So if y'all would join me in prayer. Father God, we love you, God. We love you because you first loved us. You loved us so much, God, that while we were your absolute enemy, God, while we were nailing the nails into your hands and your feet, God, and we were raising you on the cross, you said, I still love you. I still love you and I forgive you. God, that grace and that mercy we can't even imagine sometimes, but Father, we thank you and we love you for that. Father, I thank you for a supporting church, God, a church that can come alongside this ministry and invest in these students' lives, not so they can be the next generation that rises up to you, but they can be this generation today that serves you. Father, I pray for the students that were able to come, and even those that weren't able to come, God, I pray that we would continue to be a light, not our own light, but a mirror reflecting your light to those around us in this community, in our schools, in our families. Father, would you use our leaders to just invest in these students and pour our hearts into these students? May we continue to have your eyes to see those around us with compassion and love like you see them and love the unlovables. Father, we love you. We praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, in the remaining moments that we have, I want to share with you an extension of the thoughts that have been extended over and over today. If you didn't know it, we had planned this service, but a lot of it has kind of been unplanned. It's just been the leadership of the Lord. But just one quick thought to extend what Derek just said and wrap up everything today is this matter of forgiveness. And in Matthew chapter 18, Peter bumbling, stumbling Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? Well, the rule of the day was that if you forgave somebody three times, that was enough. And so Peter thought he was doing a good thing by doubling it and adding one. And Jesus came and responded to that and said, no, you need to forgive 70 times seven. What Jesus wasn't saying was 490 times. What Jesus was saying was that you need to keep on and continually forgive others. And then he told a parable. I will tell you that I was mistaken by studying these parables, thinking they would be easy, nice little stories to teach over the summer. These are hard, hard teachings of Jesus. These little stories that are so cute and you know, kind of explain some things about the kingdom of God have layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning. And they just kind of get in your head and start wrangling with you. And you, which one do you want to speak about? Which one is right? And so I want to focus on one matter of the teaching in this parable that just continues the theme of the day. Jesus tells the story that a master decided to settle his debts with several of those who owed him money. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said that one came to the master and begged for forgiveness for the debt. It was 10,000 talents. Well, what does that mean in today's money? Today's money, as best I could convert it, was 16 years of income. 16 years of working for a salary. In other words, Jesus was saying that is an impossible debt to pay. But because you've run up such a tab to the master, you are owed prison. You are owed to be sold and all of your family and everything you possess. That's your payment for what you have come against in a debt. But the master decided, and here's the phrase I want us to focus on because it's been spoken of over and over again already, and the Lord just kept running me to this. But the master forgave him the debt and decided to have compassion on him. Think about that for a moment. Decided to have compassion on him. And so he had the debt canceled. He's relieved of 16 years of income to pay back to the master. The story goes that immediately he went out and went to cash in on a debt that was owed to him. Now, that debt wasn't 16 years of income. That debt was 100 denarii or a day's payment, a day's wage. It was the kind of debt that could have been paid off on Saturday. Hey, I'll come mow your grass and clean your gutters and paint your, you know, eaves, and I'll do some things for you and I'll work off that debt for you in a day. It's a day's worth of payment. And it says in the story, for the sake of brevity, you can read it later. It says in the story that he seized him by the throat and forced him to pay that day's worth of pages, and the brother could not pay. And so he cast him into prison. The rest of those who heard that the 16 years worth of salary had been forgiven went back to the master and said, you're not going to believe what he did. You realize what he did? He tried to cash in on 100 denarii after you've forgiven him 16 years of salary. And so the master went to him and caused him to pay the consequence. He seized him and all of his property and he put him into debt. And here's what it says at the end. I cannot believe that you did not have compassion on your brother. And so what is this matter of forgiveness tied to compassion? Well, there's several notes that I shared in the bulletin there that you can read through later. But here's one that I think that is kind of capturing all of this. I think what happens is we are tempted to think that our sin is not that bad. After all, that's one of the motivations for us committing a sin. The consequences won't be that severe, so I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. I'll lose my temper, I'll hold a grudge, I'll look at the wrong thing on the internet, I'll slander someone, I'll abscond with some money. It's really not that bad. And that's our first mistake. When Jesus looked upon us in our sin, He looked upon it as impossible to pay back, impossible to cancel. Not only is it 16 years worth of salary to pay, it is our whole life to pay for the sins of our lives that we have committed. But we have tended to minimize those sins. But Jesus, when He chose to forgive us of our sins, chose to do that out of a heart of compassion for us. He cares about us. He doesn't owe us His care, but He has chosen to care for us and give us compassion. Don't raise your hand, but all of us could raise our hand. How many here today could raise your hand and say, somebody's done me wrong in my life? Everybody here could raise their hand. And the truth of it is, we have vivid memory and detail of the wrongs that others have done to us. And if we're not careful, according to the parable, we can continue to hold grudges and hold people hostage for the mistakes that they have made to us. And what Jesus is teaching in the parable, that we need to practice this matter of forgiveness. But if we practice this matter of forgiveness, we are going to be tempted to believe that the things that the people have done wrong to us, we're okay doing those things. And we're going to give that to them, when in fact it wasn't okay. The truth of it is, it's not even about that. What it is about is releasing people from the wrongs that they have done to you by practicing this matter of compassion. By being able to walk in the shoes of another that is a hurtful person and exercise compassion for the good reason that Jesus has exercised compassion on behalf of you and me. And when we begin to view people with compassion, when we begin to view people that have done wrong to us and understand that there might be reasons why they were misbehaving at the time, there might be reasons why they misspoke, there might be circumstances in their life to cause them to cause harm to others as opposed to not causing harm to others. When we begin to think in the terms of compassion for others, it doesn't necessarily become easier to forgive, but it certainly moves us towards this matter of forgiving others. How many times do we need to forgive people for doing us wrong? 7 times? That's twice as many as the rule of the day. No, Jesus said 490 times, and then 491 and 492 and 493, because the pattern of life in Christ is to be the kind of people that will continually forgive others, and that becomes the pattern of living out of your life with Christ, because after all, Jesus did that for you. And He didn't stop it at 7 times or 490 times. In fact, He hasn't stopped it yet. Come on, somebody confess in that regard. He is continually forgiving you and forgiving me because He has a heart of compassion. You and I need and can always learn about this matter of compassion that drives us to forgiveness and drives us to be liberated from the grudges, from the things that we hold on to in our past. One of the plagues that we have about forgiveness is we also have an inability to forget. I spent some time with my dad this past week, and he didn't have much to say. He's getting older. But when we triggered conversations about the past, he could tell us in detail things of his past, in vivid detail. And we had a wonderful conversation about some matters of our past, things that I didn't know about. We have very difficult time forgetting. But compassion that drives forgiveness causes us to lose our memory of what has been done wrong and encourages us to continue to forgive. And so with that thought in mind, I want us to meditate on today and the days to come, this matter of forgiveness. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? And while heads are bowed and music is played as we meditate together, I want you to just sit there for a moment and remember how much it took for you to be forgiven. The individual sins, the heart motivated by sin and rebellion and selfishness. Remember how much it took for you to be forgiven. It was an impossible debt to pay on your own. And Jesus chose to forgive you, to forgive me, and showed us His heart of compassion.